Everybody knows we'll continue Beis Hashem off Tisha B'Av, Wednesday, Thursday, regular title. Yud Dalet Tammuz, Tov Shin Nun Dalet. By the middle of the Shiva, for the Shefa Chaim, told by the Rebbe, so his son, the Rebbe Shlita now, said a vort in the middle of the Shiva. And he said he wanted a taina shat in the posik in Eicha. The posik says, Godu Kayam Shivrach Miyupaloch, that he said that the stalkers of a tzaddik, when a tzaddik leaves the belt, so everybody has their way of looking at it. Each one comes from their bechina, this one comes from tefillah, and looks at the Rebbe from tefillah, this one looks at the tzaddik from the Torah, this one looks at the Gimnas Chasodim. Each person looks at the tzaddik kifi mashu, and he wanted a taina, that's pshat, in the posuk in the Eifel, Gigodul Kayam Shibrech, and Rashi also, we know in Bereishis, Rashi says, when the Torah says, El mikvah amayim korig yomim. What's the yamim? What's the motion of plural? Rashi asked the kasha. Rashi explains that ain't a doim tam dag she'olah b'yab akol the tam dag she'olah b'yab. It's funny, a different time and a different taste that a person has of a fish depends on the place that he is. And he wants to tie it as the sons of Yov. It's the same thing also as Talkos with the tzaddik and many things as well. Every single thing, when you look at every single thing, it all depends on who you are, on where you're coming from, with which type of look you give this item. And it's exactly the same thing also with Churban Abayis, the same way as well, that every single person looks at Churban Abayis with a different mahalach, depending on where the chinuch they receive, depending on different things that they grew up with, b'chule, that leads to the mahalach that he understands, echod b'fi madrig osef, the exact shaytus of the Churban Abayis, the Shimayim, this is famous. Sumai says many, many times in the Svarim that tzaddikim we know from not so long ago would sit on the Tisha B'Av Pashut crying and rivers of tears would come out of their eyes, and even they were maskim that wasn't the right mahalach, and the emes was so rochik from the emes and b'chulei. Kol shekein, so many of us, and I speak obviously for myself when I say anything like this, is like it time is, and like it's meant to be, even from the Svarim, you have a lave of an Evan, a Poshim don't feel anything. I'm always used to feel something. You know, somebody once came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, with the shayla of the halacha of taking away the knife, b'shas benching. Right? There's such a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, shayla, Shabbos, weekday, whatever, take away the knife. What's the reason? So he came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, said, I don't understand. The reason is because there was once a person that he took a knife and he put his dad himself. Then you shall lie, and he had such a. He came to Rav Chaim and said, a bit weird, no? Because one person, like, it's a taste. So Rav Chaim looked at him and said, forget. You're weird. Like, people had a halloween like that. It was a normal thing that's my name. Pashut people just feel it. It wasn't something crazy. It was a normal thing that people feel of it. Everyone knows the famous Maizid of Nemagi once came to the place of Yeshua's Yaakov. And when he came over there, they asked him, the famous Maggid, they asked him, look, speak a shtickle in Yonah D'Yoyma. Ben Amitzorim, they asked him to speak in Yonah D'Yoyma. So Dubna Maggid said, be safe, no problem, I'll get up, I'll speak in Yonah D'Yoyma. So they came to tell him, the Gabbah, the Shuas Yaakov, told him, the Modasu himself, the Shuas Yaakov is coming to the Shir, coming to the Drosh of the Dubna Maggid. And the Dubna Maggid said, no. Nobody that's an old person or a great tzaddik, even like the Shuas Yaakov, should come. Why? Because he said that when I speak in Yoni the Yorim of Benim Mitzorim, so I'm going Bechia, and going Bechia for these people is Poshad a Shaila Pekot Nefesh. The mice of the Shuas Yaakov Taka came and they listened, and they had to carry him out with a stretcher. Okay, they go. Poshad, people felt it in those days. People understood what it means to be Samigdosh. When it meant the Chuban Habayis, everyone knows what they say, B'Shem the Chudush Harim. They say over B'Shem the Chudush Harim, never so inside the Sefer, but they say B'Shem the Chudush Harim, that the Shulchan Aruch tells us at the beginning of Baruch Chaim, that every year of Shemayim is supposed to be doing, made in the Churban Habayis, everyone's meant to cry and to realize what's going on. So the Chudush Harim, if a person doesn't, he's not a year of Shemayim, then he should cry for his own personal Churban, that he possibly can't feel what's going on, and then a person should cry for that. I once heard from, I think it was Rav Chaim Waxman, that he wrote a mashal, that he said that imagine the scene, as this mice has many different versions. Imagine the scene of a bunch of children, the Aleinu Rachmanu Litzlan, that were left without a mother. Their mother was nifta at a very, very young age. And these young children at the time when their mother was nifta were too young, the chabal went on. And years went by until eventually they were able to start speaking and start saying Kaddish, and eventually their father trained them to come to shul. And he said, this is going to be the first opportunity that you're going to say Kaddish for your mother. Bunch of boys sitting there in the shul. The time got up that they went to say Kaddish in the shul by davening. A cult of Kaddish, they were giggling to themselves. At one point, even they were giggling so much that they pushed out to stop, and everybody starts looking at them. What's going on over here? And who's looking at them most? Their father never looking at them, saying, you don't even know who your mother was. And in Shomayim, you can imagine what the mother is looking, saying to the kids, you don't even know the mysterious nevesh that I had for you to give you into this world. And you're pushing giggling because you don't even feel what it means to miss a mother because you have no shyness to her. See, Tainis is mamish the same thing by Tisha B'Av. It's the same thing by Chulban Abayis. We're so rochoy. We have no shaykhus to the Beis HaMikdash. We have no shaykhus what it means. Hashuras Hashchina. And Mimeinu, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, ki'ilu. We're doing the same thing as those kids when it comes to the Kaddish of giggling during the Kaddish for their own mother that they're doing in Chab. As we're sitting on a Tisha B'Av, you know, during the kinnis, people are running here, people are going there, this one's going out, this one's going in. Avada, we go to the kinnis and we say whatever we have to say. Oh, but to feel it, Avada, we don't. Which is Rebikas used to explain it differently. He used to explain that we don't possibly feel what's going on. He said, imagine if a person goes to a chasana. No, so you go to a chasana, and you have a few different types of people who go to a chasana. You got the chasan's family, the close relatives, and then you got also the good friends, the close family members. And after that, you've also got people that have a shaykhus, but it's done a little bit further, if anyone, the father of the chasan, the father of the chala, whatever it is. And then you have people stop that come for a party. You know, you have these people that turn up for dancing. Stop, Yishma, same air, Fasa Bakala, they're coming, Bakalonis of the mitzvah. But I don't want to have shaykhs of the Fasa Bakala. Now, when you stand by the entrance of the door of the chasna, and you have a look, and you see who's dancing, do you chat who's the close relative, and who's a best friend, and who's not such a good friend, and who came for a party? Doesn't make enough gemina. Everybody's fine, everybody's dancing, everyone's gishmak. No, lady, go for ket to a levaya. After 2 minutes of being in this levaya, you will see immediately who is considered to be the close relatives and who is considered to be the people on the side that just came stamped in Menachem Ol or whatever it is. Mimeles Ushisha thinks the same thing by us. When it comes to the whole year, a Yom Tov of Sukkot, a Yom Tov of Hanukkah, a Yom Tov of Purim, whatever it is, everything's gishmak and it's easy to get into it, it's easy to have a gishmak in a Yom Tov. That doesn't show that you have a shaykhus in Avodas Hashem and a shaykhus to the Rebbeinu Shabbat. It comes to a Tisha B'Av where it's taka sad, and then is the chilek between somebody that feels close in their avodas Hashem to Rebbeinu Shel Olam and someone that is rochek from avodas Hashem to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and that you see taka on Tisha B'Av. And any time is rather going to be the chilek between one and the other. Now it's interesting on the actual halachas of Tisha B'Av that the halachas of Tisha B'Av after chatzos everything's finished. Come out. I mean the whole build up from Shiloh to the Talmuds all the way till. Shavu Shechal Boy, and then Erev Tisha B'Av itself, and not the Chatzos, finished. I mean, basically, I can't be hugging there, maybe, yeah, maybe we can have Motzei Yom Tisha B'Av, maybe we can't have, and the niggas not, the same though. But everything is very relaxed, we get off the floor, and it's even Tisha B'Av, what's the pshat? And all that Choyim Chazal, and this is the Kash of Chazal, that Chazal tell us that the Ikka of the Beis HaMikdash Fakir was destroyed, that was when the Ikka burning was done, was during the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, and Fakir, what are we doing over here, we're getting up, and everything's more relaxed, and everything's much easier, what's the pshat? So, I once had a pshat from one of the Mashkichim of Gate said, I think it was with Miller, he once had a beautiful pshat. He said, the pshat is a double poshet. The avada, the yisoidish, from Shivas of the Talmud all the way until Tisha B'Av, is to get a person into the mood of the Chulban Abayis, and to realize what he's missing, and to realize the Beis HaMikdash Mechole. However, when it comes to Chatzos, which is the Ikkar Zman when the Beis HaMikdash was, Mamish going up in flames, is that is the time not to look at the Beis HaMikdash and the Avelis Shavoy, but to look at why it was destroyed and why it was caused to come into that Matzav and why we're in the Matzav of Golos that we're in right now. And then that's the Yisod, but afterwards we have to start looking forward. So the Yisod of the Tainis, the Mishabur tells us, we know this from Chazal, the Gemara and Tainis, that the Ikkar of the Tainis is not the fasting of others, the Tshuva and the Maisim Tovim, as I stated in the Pasuk and Nach, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu looked after the Maisim and not at the fasting. So Mimeila, there's a Yisod of being. Even though in Afanami we're Taku Rochik, and again I speak for myself, I'm not speaking for anybody else, that we're Taku Rochik from the, what it means to have a Shor Shechina, the Beis HaMikdash, Kabonis, Kohanim, whatever that means. So, if on Tisha B'Av, at least if we're not going to sit there and cry and cry and cry in the Beis HaMikdash, let us utilize the time, maybe, just to realize what we're actually missing in our own personal selves, to work on something and make the fast into the te'elis that it's meant to be. Chazal, as we know from the Gemara in Tainus Chavtes, tell us that the Yesoid of Tisha B'Av, where it started, was dafka by the Meraglim. When the Meraglim came and they cried the Bechir Shulchinam, so the Gemara over there tells us on Mal Aleph that because they cried the Bechir Shulchinam, the Rebbeinu Shalom said, I'm going to be conveying this Bechir Ledoyim. So they're stating the Gemara. We have to realize on Tisha B'Av itself, and all obviously after that, better before, what exactly are we missing, and maybe to do a Bechir Shiyesh Boi Mamash. Not just to do a Bechir Shechinam. A Bechir Shiyesh Boi Mamash means to actually realize what we're missing and how we can work on ourselves to better ourselves. And maybe that will be a Bechir Shiyesh Boi Mamash without a Bechir Ledoyus. Chazal tell us, Mufurish, that if we would have cried one more cry in Eretz Yisrael before we went to Golus, Chazal tell us we never would have had to come to Golus. As we know, Nebuchadnezzar told Nebuzaradan that before, when the great Klal Yisrael were being led to Babel out of Eretz Yisrael, Nebuchadnezzar said, don't let them rest. Keep Klal Yisrael moving and moving and moving until they get out of Eretz Yisrael all the way until reach Babel. Because if you let them rest and you let them contemplate and you let them think for a few minutes what they're lost out on and where they're holding in their life right now, they're going to cry. And Nebuchadnezzar understood that if they cry, that cry will be a Bechir Shel Tshuva. And the Bechir Shel Tshuva is something that Nebuchadnezzar, because we have no shlita on it, will never be able to chap them. And the Maizah that's chat in the Pasuk Al Naris Boel Shom Yoshavnu. The first opportunity that Klal Yisrael got to sit and contemplate and realize where they were holding Beruchnius was Dafka over there. Al Naris Bobo, Gambochinu, why is Achinu as Tzion? Because that's the first time they chapped that they're missing what they're missing and what they were taken out from. A Mimela, because of that, they started crying. And it was at that moment that it was too late. Kiyodua, Yimioa, Novi came and he found them crying over there by Al Naris Bobo. And he saw them crying. And Chazal tell us, he said, Medani alai aleichem, Shomayim v'oretz, if you would have cried one more cry while you were still in Eretz Yisrael, you never would have had to come to Babel. You never would have had to come to Golus, and maybe the whole Golus would have started. Let's state in Chazal, for you and not being Zoya, tells us that the Ikka Geula, the Ikka Golus that will be saved from, will come on your day. The crying we mentioned last time, the Chazam Sofer writes, and he brings over there the Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi, the Rambam, whatever, of the Binyan Bayis Shlishi. Who's going to build it? Eishayimim, it's going to come on Yidei Moshiach. Eishayimim, it's going to come from Shemayim. The Chazam Sofer, where's Achelik in it? Where's Achelik in Binyan Bayis Shlishi? So the Chazam Sofer, the story of Vadi is from our Bechir, from our tears. Each tear that we have is another brick, and that's our Achelik in Binyan Bayis Shlishi. And something we have to understand again, coming from this Meraglim, which as we know is the Yesoid from the whole Chet that's caused us to be here today in Golas and the Chuvin Abayis, came from the Meraglim. What was the Yesoid of the Meraglim? With Tzaddik and others also write that the last Yetzirah before this man of Mashiach is the Yetzirah of there's no self-worth, no self-esteem, right? It's tremendous. That a person feels that he has no shaykhs and he has no importance of my Torah that I learned is goodness, and my Twilah that I do is goodness, and my Tehillah I say is goodness. We made everything I do is nothing, and therefore we made it because of that. The Yetzer chaps us, and we don't end up doing anything. We have to realize the chashidus of every single thing that we have. About every year that the Tzelem Rekim is a Merdeka Maisa, a tremendous Maisa, the son of Spas Emes, was in one of the camps by the Nazis, and he was in the camp over there, and he taught the Olam over there, a tremendous amount of Hasidim there, and the son from Sfas Emes taught the Olam the Sugya of Kiddushim Shamayim. Pasha taught him the Sugya of Kiddushim Shamayim. Ad Gidei Kach, that when the Nazis came to take them away, to take lead them to the gas chambers, so they got up with the Zrizas. They learned the Sugya of Kiddushim Shamayim, and they Pasha stood up with the Zrizas, and they started singing, and they started dancing with a Geschmack. And the Nazis couldn't take it. They were coming to do something what they thought would kill them. And here they see these Jews over here getting up with a geschmack, with an unbelievable. What's the pshat? They tried to stop them. They scream stop. No, they were in another world. They were pushing the world of any half in Shemayim, thinking about being the Kaddish in Shemayim. The best thing that a person can do is like a bonding azar. And the Nazis were stopping them. Stop. They didn't listen. What they do? So one of the Nazis, a famous Meister, one of the Nazis came and he picked a small baby and he took this baby and he threw it in the floor in front where they were all dancing. At that moment, everybody stops. Pet stops, Stren is dead in their tracks. Nobody's going to crush onto a small Yiddish baby. And everybody stopped. And he went over, the son from the Sfasemis, took this baby in his hands, and he said, the Balde Gazach, he said, how do we know, how does the son know that he's doing his job? The son, Shemesh, how does he know that he's doing his job? When the son sees that everybody can't look at the son, he's squinting because it's too bright. So then the son chaps, oh, I'm doing my job, I'm okay. If you do of Nochaim HaKodesh, that we're living in a generation where Loiv of the Tzelem and Akim Tafra comes from Yidden. How do we know that we still have the Tzelem and Akim? How do we know we still have the Shechina from the Rebbein Yishlom who's with us here in Golis? Is when the Goyim can't stand us. And they can't stand us out because they can't, that they're willing to take Yidden and throw them, babies, children, and throw them into places that they'll be killed. If that's the Mahalach, it means that the Shechina is still with us. It means the Tzelem and Akim is with us and we're doing our job. It's a tremendous story. I mean, we don't have to come up to stories like that, unfortunately. We've got stories now that are going on all over Europe at different places. I'm sure everybody here knows their own mices. So many stories that have been going around of different people that have got subject to tremendous, tremendous abuse and to anti-Semitic zachen. I mean, there was someone in I think it was in Antwerp, that called up, there was mom's father, husband called up about his wife that was tremendously ill. There was a big choler going on. And he said, the doctor, you have to come to the house, boshet. And he said, I'm not coming for you. He knew he's a Jew. He said, I'm not coming for you, Jewish person. He said, yeah, mama, she's sick or whatever. He said, it hurts you. It hurts her tremendously. He said, no. He said that to Gaza, and then you'll see what hurts. Like, if it's true, it's not true. But the Maisa that you saw it is, if the Goyim can't stand us, and it bothers them to see the look of a Jew, to see whatever it is, it means that Salam and the King is with us. And it means that we're doing our job. There's a Moedika Medrash. And I think this is a tremendous Yisoid. For the Yisoidis of Bein HaMetzorim, for sure, it's a double poshet. That the Medrash brings down, I'm trying to find it, I'm going to have to find it, the beginning of the Medrash on Echa. He brings over there a Moedika Medrash that says that this man, at the Shas of the Churban HaBayis. So, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Oros, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, everybody came to Shemayim, they came to the Ribbono Shel Olam, begging the Ribbono Shel Olam, stop, don't do it. And each one came with their schus, what should stop the Churban, what should stop the whole matzah from continuing. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, no, I'm continuing. Until Rachel came along. When Rachel came along and she said, I have the schus of being Mavata, I have the schus of doing something to make sure another Yidin Klalisor, which was a sister, would not be Mavayish for Rabbin, a tremendous embarrassment. That's the schus that I should have to say Klalisor. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you write the schus Rachel, I'll bring a Beis Hashem, the Klalisor, back to the Beis HaMikdash, Mavayish Lishi. But with that schus, which is the most tremendous Yisoid, obviously, of Tisha B'Av, because we know that one of the halachas, one of the Gemaras that we're actually allowed to learn, is the story in the Gemara of Bakamsa Bagamsa. What's the Yisoid? Sinas Chinam, which is the Yisoid that a person has to read as to think of somebody else. Which I want to just speak about two Maises, the Gabaldiga Maises, which is something that we all can have chizik in to work on our Ben Adam Mechaveiroi, which Avada at this time is a tremendous Yisoid. I think somebody once said that when the three boys, Nebuch, that were taken, they were killed, and we only found them 18 days later, that they were killed already on the first day. What took 18 days? The Ribbono Shel Olam knew already on the first day. Oh, but it took 18 days to get Klal Yisrael with such a achdus together, for everyone to work together. Ribbono Shel Olam is buried the refuah before the Makkah. He made it the Tehillim that everybody said, the Torah that everybody learned, the Tehillim that everybody said, everything that everybody did, the Maisim Tovim, all came about because of that. It needed that to make a tremendous achdus, and that's obviously what we need before the coming of Mashiach. There's, again, like I mentioned, for the Medrash, tremendous Yisoid. I mean, this is a Yiddur Kamaisa, but I have to say, like I was saying, the Mesir Sishom says in the Akdoma that he's not saying any Chidushim. Chazorah is in Yonim. So again, some of these things are going to shoot him. But just a little bit of Chazorah before we go out, so I've been as Mani Mains Hashem in another week. But I've got to think about these things. Famous Maisa with the Satmarov, Yoel, Zamaisa. Everybody knows his ideas on Eretz Yisrael and the country, Chule. Everybody knew. There was a certain reporter that was known to say terrible things about the Satmarov. Mommy, she used to write terrible, terrible zachen about the Satmarov. It came a time when this friar reporter one time needed medical attention for his wife. His wife was sick, very, very sick. He came to America in order to be treated, and he needed a tremendous amount of money, somewhere around $100,000. And he was asking around, where am I going to get this money from to pay for my wife's treatment? So everybody started telling him, go to the Samaritan. The Samaritan, it's in Shiga. Samaritan, me, I'm the worst person. I walk in there, I kick me out of there, I'll probably do who knows what to me. They said, no, no, go to the Samaritan, you'll be okay. So he makes an appointment. He goes to the door, he goes to the house, he's trembling. What on earth is going to happen to Rebbe? What's he going to do to me? I don't know what's going to happen. He gets inside over there, and he sits face to face with the Rebbe, and he's waiting for the Rebbe to come out. It's like a stack of words against him. And all the Rebbe starts asking him, what's with the illness? How's she feeling? Which doctors are you getting? Make sure you get the best doctors. How much money do you need? So he starts telling the Rebbe, $100,000, which is a tremendous amount of money, even in those days, for sure in those days. And the Rebbe falls over the gubba. He starts whispering something to the governor. The governor brings back a check, and the Rebbe hands the check to the man. He sees it's more than $100,000. He says, I'm giving you this, I want to make sure you get the best treatment, the best doctors. You probably need to stay in a hotel as well near the hospital. There's not gishmak to go, you know, traveling back and forth. I want to make sure that everything is paid for and everything is gishmak. And the man was partially blown away. He just didn't understand how it could be such a thing. And then the Rebbe said to him, just make sure one thing, please. Before you come back to before you go back to Eretz Yisrael from America, come and visit me one more time. So he goes, all right, let's take it. No, so it happens when the treatment of Hashem was okay, his wife had come better. Just before he went back, he remembered his promise to the Rebbe, and he said, I know what I'm going to get now, but I think I owe it to the Rebbe. So he goes now, makes another appointment, he comes into the Rebbe again, and he's waiting, and the Rebbe hands him an envelope with $10,000 of cash. He says, listen, Stormy, you've been away for a few months when you're regular post in Eretz Yisrael, and you know, maybe they have given you a job, they haven't given you a job, so you lost money. I want to make sure you have a little bit of money to, you know, to get back on your feet. And that's it. He left that and he understood. Obviously, that's why he was such a tzaddik, how he was. Of the vita that a person has to somebody else, of not thinking about himself, thinking about somebody else, is a tremendous, tremendous thing. I mean, it's not a gain to anybody here. But when I speak to Bochum, sometimes I always mention over the story of the I generation. Right? The I generation, you know, the iPod and the iPhone and all these iPhones and iPod, everything's I. That's the story, everything's made in I. If you have a look at, again, Bochum Shem, nobody knows what I'm talking about, but there's such a thing called a Wii machine. A Wii machine is a machine that have all sorts of, I don't know, tennis and football and so on. How do they spell it? W-I-I. It's a generation that everybody's thinking about I. They're training you to think about I. That's the insight. There was a Moshe Gemaisa brought down from Chaim Shmulevitz. This is a Moshe from Chaim Shmulevitz when he was the Meshiva of the Meir. So his mum, when they went over, when Yerushalayim was under attack, and there was poshet, you know, missiles coming all over, mamish in the middle of Yerushalayim. And there was one point that all of the Talmidim of the Yeshiva and the Meir were gathered into the bomb room over there, and there was a siren, and they could hear the explosions, and all of a sudden they heard a tremendously loud explosion. And they realized that the Meir Yeshiva itself had a direct hit, and they waited for the inevitable. They waited for the entire building to go down. That's what normally happens, and it didn't. It was a tremendous nace. They came out, and what they saw was Pasha and nace. Unbelievable names. It wasn't Shaykh and Mitzias. The Meir Yeshiva got a direct hit, but yet the whole place, where they were standing, nothing was touched. So everyone, when he got back to their learning, Chaim Shmulevitz got up with the beam of his medrash of Rabbi Yisrael. Each person was sitting in that room, standing in that room, saying to him, this one was doubling, this one was learning, whatever it was. Each one understood that his chus was the one that saved the Meir Yeshiva. His Torah, his tefillah, his tehillim, whatever it was. Zukum Chaim Shmulevitz, no. Let me tell you exactly what happened at that time. Zukum Chaim Shmulevitz, at that moment, I was standing next to a woman. This woman, never, her husband had left her 10 or 20 years earlier. Pasha had left, no sign, dead, alive, nobody knows, no divorce. Pasha was stuck. Pasha was stuck for either the era of 10, or I don't remember, it was 20 years, whatever it was. This woman's tsar that she had gone through, for however many years it was, my nafkamina, the tremendous agonist nefesh that she had, was so unbelievable, so intense. At that moment when the place shook and it was about to come down, I heard her saying that b'schus everyone in this yeshiva should be saved, I'm willing to be mevatel my husband and be moichel him b'leiv sholim. Zukum Chaim Shmulevitz, that was the pshat and that was the schus that the Meir Yeshiva was saved. Not a bagat for Torah, also not a bagat for tefillah. level kavava, over the schus of the chayish levitz of the vita that a person was mevata for somebody else. That is the schus that carries with it a tremendous, tremendous thing. And that's obviously something that a father, again, like I say, I speak to myself. Of course, we have to learn to work on this. Ben odol lechaveyu, especially zman beinu mitzorim tishavah. This is the yisoid b'kamtza sinaschin ha'avos. This is exactly the yisoid that we have to work on. We made that person has to be careful. During this man of the, especially during this man now of Korban HaBayis, we feel the Golas HaShechina. But one thing we have to know, and this is something we have to take with us during our Bein HaZmanim, is that we have to realize that Dafka Alidei Limud HaTorah is we bring the Shechina to Klal Yisrael. What's the pshat? In the Hovis Nasu, Nasu Mishnet, the Tzal, he writes, in the Moedim over there, Moedig Avot, he brings over there a Gemara in Machis Taf Yud. But the Gemara says, Talmud Shegoyle, Goyle Rabba Imoy, right? Famous like Mokhi Yosef over there. That the Maisa, when the Talmud goes to Golas, you have to bring the Rebbe with him. So he says, Azur, that Avadik HaKadosh Baruch was considered to be Klal Yisrael's Rebbe. So Rabbi Mishal Yisrael, the Pasuk in Yeshayi, quotes, and Yashem Lekecho, Rav Necho, he brings the Pasuk that we say every single day, in Pirkos HaTorah, HaMalam HaTorah Lam Yisrael, that Avadik HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Rebbe. We are considered to be the Talmud of the Rebbe if we learn the Haidah Yitzhak. Mimela. If a Yid sits and learns Torah, Avada B'Rabim is even better. But Avila B'Yachad, wherever a person is going, Bein Asman, wherever a person is going, stop. And a person sits and learns Torah. So we're in Golas, and it's Mimela, if we're Talmud Shigoyle, you have to bring the Rabbi Yimoy. Mimela, it's Muchach that the Rebbe Shalom has come to us together in Golas when a person learns Torah. Mimela, a person has to realize, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you sit and you steig and you learn Torah, whatever it is, the Shechina has to be there. Achut has to be there. Because we made it for in Golas, we made it, our person has to know, Talmud Shegoyla, Goyla, Rabbi, Imoy. You do the Chsam Sofa, the Moitik Chsam Sofa, in Shai Zin Chuvah, Chaylevoh, Simon Tzadiches, when he brings over there, that if you do the Chsam Sofa, in every single door, there's a Yid who lives in that door, who's going to be Mashiach, he doesn't know about it, until the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has the Rotzon to bring Mashiach, so then Ke'ilu gets the idea that he's the Mashiach and he has the Koyach to take Klal Yisrael out of the Golas, just like Ibn Zarayas or Moshe Rabbeinu, before he went to the snare, had no idea the Koyach he had to take out Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, until the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was megala to him from the snare that you have the Koyach to bring Klal Yisrael out. So it's about the poshut, the astrologist of the Chsam Sofer, but every single door has its Mashiach and its person in it, and about this door there's also a person that's going to be Mashiach that will take Klal Yisrael out of the Golas. However, we have to be the door that's Roy. We have to work on ourselves to be the door that's Roy. But maybe we can only work on that through these two things of Ben Adon HaChaveyoy and also of Toyo. I want to finish with one last Maisa. I think I said this maybe last year, different place. There's a famous Maisa of the Maggid of Trisk, Triska Maggid. That he Yodua, he mamish lived like a malach, he barely slept, barely ate, mamish lived like a malach. And somebody once asked him, you know, why did you sleep, why did you eat, and he was trying to back up, yeah, getting out from the shy, don't want to tell me real pshat. One day the Triska Maggid met Rebbeinu Medrash, and he met him, and Rebbeinu said, he was known to be mamish like a lion, mamish like a lion from the Baal Shem. And he said to him, you know, Triska Maggid, the Pasha need to know what's the mahalach, what's the pshat, why don't you eat, why don't you sleep? And he said, no, man, I'm not going to tell you. And eventually, I think he said, I can't remember the Lashon exactly, but he said, Azal Lashon, if you don't tell me, I'm going to rip you from this world and rip you from the next world. So I was like, so the Maisa Triska Maggid had no choice. And he told him, I'll tell you what happened. When I was a young boy, I went with my father, right, the Maggid of Chernobyl, and we used to go to Yadua, that the Maggid of Chernobyl used to have a meaning not to speak anything before Shacharis. And he once took me in a horse and carriage, and we went into the horse and carriage, and my father, the Chernobyl the Maggid, went, and he took the reins of the horse, and off we went. As soon as we left the town, we let go of the reins, and the horses could do whatever they wanted. They went to some corner over there, they found some place in the forest, whatever it was. And we stopped outside a small hut. We stopped outside this hut for about a half an hour. He told me, you wait here, I'm going inside. So I went up there, young child. Half an hour later, I see my father come out with a man, and his face was pushing glowing. And I see that they're talking to one another, And the Chernobyl Maggid says to this man, with tears streaming down his face, not to the Tzad, not to the Tzad, it's not ready, Klal Yisrael not ready. He comes back into the carriage, and the son says to him, who was that man? He said, that man was Mashiach. That was Mashiach, and my father was telling him, and he asked him, is his man now to come to take Klal Yisrael out? And my father told him, no, it's not time. Zug the Triska Maggid to above measurements that, no, if you would have seen Mashiach, and you would have seen your father, go to Mashiach and tell him we're not ready, Klal Yisrael are not ready, would you have time to eat? Would you have time to sleep? Avada Nisht. Meir Rabbeinu, we're coming up to Aben Hazmanim. Baruch Hashem, we have a few more days, not for good reason. Rabbi Baruch, we do have a few more days. But whenever it is, a person should take with him these midas of Torah to bring the Shekhinah with us, wherever we are in Golos, above the midah of Benodan and Chaveri, is something that everybody has to work on, to be mivat on other people, not to get so petty or little tiny little things that bother us. And this about the Be'ez Hashem will be able to bring the Geula, Roshi Be'ez Hashem, and bring him by Shishim Mehev Amen.